Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Morbid early and ad-free. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
You're listening to a Morbid Network podcast.
Hey guys, I have to tell you about this all-in-one shake that I'm freaking loving. It's called Cachava. I love saying it. It's actually hands down the best thing that I've found to help me get all my essential nutrients into one day. Cachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics. In other words, literally everything that your body craves to feel your best. And I know what you're thinking. Something that good for me cannot possibly taste good. Wrong. That's where Cachava really earns their over 52,000 five-star reviews. It actually tastes freaking amazing. It's very creamy and smooth, and it comes together with just water. And it comes in five delicious flavors. Personally, vanilla and chai are my personal favorites, but it also comes in chocolate, matcha, and coconut acai, which I still need to try. Some people like to drink it as part of a healthy breakfast or lunch, and other people love it as a protein-packed snack before or after a workout. It's really perfect for that because it has 25 grams of plant protein per serving. Personally, I like to add mine to my overnight oats. I add a scoop and I mix it all up to get a little more protein into my oats. And literally, I can have that for breakfast and feel satiated, nourished, beautiful, functioning, all throughout my day. It's incredible. Please send me more of it because I love it so much. It makes me feel very, very good. And guess what, guys? Cachava is offering our listeners 10% off for a limited time. Just go to cachava.com/morbid, spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com/morbid. When it comes to travel, we all have that one happy place, whether it's the beach, ski slopes, a little couple's getaway, or even to visit that best friend that you haven't seen in way too long. And Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price, so you never have to miss a trip. I even did their jingle, did you hear that? Personally, my happy place is the beach, sitting next to Drew, pina colada in one hand, book in the other. And now, thanks to Priceline's VIP family feature, you can go to your happy place more often while earning deals up to 5 times faster with a group. When one person from the squad travels, everybody gets more deals. And you even get to choose your crew. It doesn't have to be your actual family. Ugh, just kidding. I love you, family. But it could be your neighbor, your roommate, your mailman, anyone. The more you travel, the more you save. Maybe I'll invite my mailman. Just kidding. I don't know him. So I'll bring Elena, Mikey, and Dave, and of course, my Who's Band. So download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy price with Priceline.
Hello there, weirdos. I'm Ash.
And I'm Elena.
And this is Morbid.
We're going to do like an ASMR version of Morbid.
Are we?
No, we're not. I'm also going to put my headphones on. I was trying to do this. I was trying to do this like really weird and not have my headphones on, but it's not working.
It's fine. I tried last night actually when we recorded to not have my headphones on, and I did it for the whole episode. But then today I was like, I don't want that.
Yeah, it's too weird. We can't switch it up.
No, I'm in the habit of it.
We're trying to be crazy. We're trying to throw caution to the wind, and it just doesn't work that way.
No, I don't like it.
So, nothing happened between now and the last time we recorded.
No, because it's literally been less than 24 hours, so.
So, you know what? Here we are.
Hello.
And this is one that I found, like, kind of accidentally, this case. I was looking for, like, a spooky place, or I was looking, because I was just, like, in the mood to do something weird.
Yeah.
So, I was like, you know, I'm going to do some weird phenomenon. I'm going to do a cryptid. I'm going to do something like that. So I was looking. I found a couple that I can't wait to do.
Okay, exciting.
But then I happened to just like, this was just, I can't even remember exactly where I found it. But when I saw it, I was like,
it called you.
Hello.
It was like, come to me, Ginger.
Yeah. I was like, hello, darkness, my old friend.
Oh, I wanted to sing the old friend part.
To hang with you again. So today we are... That is what they say.
Come to chill with you.
I've come to hang to the extreme with you again. So today we are going to be talking about Michael Malloy.
Oh, I know Michael Malloy. I know this story.
You don't know Michael Malloy.
Okay.
I can tell you.
All right.
Who is he?
Is he the guy that, like, he, like, died in a bar or something, or, like got in some, like, crazy bar fight and he just, like, wouldn't die?
Yes.
Yeah.
You do know him.
I do know
him.
Wow,
I'm so impressed. Oh, my God.
And that's why we drinked in an episode on him.
Did they really?
Yeah, like, way back in the day, like, early
days. Oh, I didn't
even
know that. That's crazy. Well, he's also called Mike the Durable. Or Iron Mike.
I love that.
And I did find a really good book about this case, and it is called Hold Please.
Why is it called that?
It's called Hold Please. So it's called On the House.
On the House.
And it's by Simon Reed. And it's really good, really in-depth, because this case... At first, I was like, oh, I'm not finding like a whole lot about him, a whole lot about the guys who did it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, maybe this isn't like a full episode. Oh,
a TBT to a mini episode.
And then I found Simon Reed's book and I was like, whoa.
You were like, jackpot.
And there is only a fraction of the information that I got from it. So I will, of course, link it like we always do. But I highly suggest that you guys go get this book because it is fascinating, and he writes it really well too, because he'll put in like his own little narrations of things. It's just really good.
I like when people do that, so it's not just like blah 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 blah, blah.
Yeah,
blah,
it's blah, not blah. Just like, and then this happened and then this happened, and right. The things he found out, I'm like, how the hell did you find that out?
Because this was like crazy long ago.
It was from the 30s. Yeah. So it's like that's a long time.
A
good amount of time ago. Great Depression and all that stuff. So yeah. So Michael Malloy. Mike was an Irishman. He was living in New York City during the 20s and 30s. He was formerly a firefighter, mm-hmm. which is interesting because of how he ended up. No one knows fully what his birthday is.
Love that.
Like,
love how mysterious that is of him.
Yeah, like, it's just like, people know that he was like around a certain age. A lot of sources claimed he was 60 years old. That's what a lot of people thought. But on insurance papers, he was marked as 47 years old. And when you find out what his life is, he probably looked 60.
Yeah.
But he probably definitely was in his 40s, I would think.
Damn.
Yeah, he lived like...
Not goals.
He lived hard. He definitely did. He was originally from Donegal, Ireland. I don't think I said it right. I'm sorry, my ancestors. but he drank a lot.
All time.
Like...
The club was going up on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and maybe even an extra day.
He created another day for the club. Is what he did. Yeah. I don't. As soon as you said that, I was like, I don't know what that means. But I think it means you drank a lot. And if that's the case, then yes, that is what Michael Malloy did. He drank a lot in the club, all that good stuff. and you know, he was just kind of drifting. I know we just joked about him drinking, but like he was a full blown alcoholic
to the point
where he was in there. Literally 12 hours at a time, just drinking from sunup to sundown.
That's very sad.
And then he would kind of just, like I said before, he was a firefighter at one point, but when he lost that job, he just kind of drifted. And he would do odd jobs here and there. He would like sweep the streets and, you know, just kind of do anything that he could make a couple dollars here and there. Mm-hmm. But every single cent he made just went to drinking.
I wonder if it was like he lost the job, the firefighting job, because of drinking, or if it was like he saw some shit while on the job and like left and like turned to drinking to get through it.
It seems to me like he is a lifelong alcoholic.
Really?
Because the way he goes hard at it, this is one of those like you've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
Long, long time. Like in that respect, if he was 60 years old, I don't even think I would be that shocked by it.
Wow.
To be honest, because... I've never heard of anybody drinking like this. It's truly outrageous. So the other players in this that we are going to talk about are Anthony Tony Marino, Francis Pasqua, and Daniel Kreisberg.
Let's just say Pasqua forever.
Pasqua.
Pasqua.
I don't even know if that's how you say it, but he's a giant dick, so it really doesn't matter. And also, I just like saying Pasqua.
Pasqua.
And those are the three like main players, but there's going to be a lot of other names. So okay. I'll try to keep everybody with it.
And I'll bear with you.
Exactly. So first, let's talk about Tony Marino, because he's the main guy here.
Let's talk about him.
He was 27 years old. And he owned a speakeasy because, again, yes, this is like prohibition times and all that.
I love speakeasies.
His speakeasy was at 3775 3rd Avenue in the Bronx. It was in rough shape.
Okay.
This was definitely like a thrown together kind of speakeasy situation. This was not one of those like Great Gatsby speakeasies where like, you know, knock everything's three times. Fancy and yeah, knock three times and turn this fancy key and then you come in and like, hey, come on in and drink.
It was like it's body like, slam the door open and like maybe we might have some alcohol left.
Like come in peeing all over the place and you're welcome here. Let's basically. Get it. I think they actually had a bathroom in the place that was only separated by like a curtain.
Iconic.
From the rest of the room. And then like the room itself was this tiny little dirty, nasty place. It was just really gross.
I feel like I want to go there. Just to see it.
I don't want to go
just
there.
Just to see it.
After reading so much about this, I'm like, I don't want anything to do with this place. Like, that place has seen some shit.
Yeah.
Some shit. He also, Tony Marino, he was not an appealing character at all.
No.
He's kind of the worst. He's terrible in every way. Like, I really have nothing good to say about him. And on top of everything, he was, like, riddled with venereal diseases. He had, like, syphilis, which is not in and of itself a bad thing.
No, of course
but
not.
But what he does next with them is a bad thing. Because when you have a venereal disease, you should tell your partners.
Correct.
Your future partners. And if you don't, you're a dick.
Absolutely.
That's just that.
That's not okay.
And so he had syphilis. He had a ton of other ones. And he described himself as always having a case of the clapper blue balls.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And
there was no in between. Either he was blue balling it or he had the clap.
Which it's like, whoa.
What?
That's a whole vibe.
You're going
right there. He's really going for it. He was married, but he wasn't happily married.
I guess not.
Because again, he was a giant asshole and that's hard to be married to. He never told his wife, Eleanor, about his whole South situation. And he can pass it to her. Which he likely did. I'm not sure if he did. I'm not going to call her out like that. But, like, he likely... Something happened because she did find out only when she was pregnant and going to the doctors. So I'm assuming something happened there that she found out that way.
Yeah, that's terrible.
He was also abusive and miserable to her.
Ew,
so Tony's
guy.
Like a real gem.
Fuck you, Tony.
She said, fuck you, Tony. And she said, quote, he once put the stove into the hall and proceeded to smash the furniture with an axe and then ran into the street with the axe in his hand. On numerous occasions, he became so violent that it was with difficulty that we were able to restrain him. On several occasions, he threatened to turn the gas on in our room and kill the baby and myself.
Jesus.
So Marino is a real gem of a guy.
Yeah, fucked up dude.
Yeah, such a peach. But hey, there is childhood head trauma. So
okay, so that explains
so
that.
So there's that. I was looking for it. While I was reading this, I was like, you better tell me this kid hit his head sometime.
You're like, because I need some form of an explanation.
Because you're truly the worst. He says that when he was 12 years old, he fell down four flights of stairs at his home, which I have a couple of questions about. One, how? Two, you had four flights of stairs in your home?
Maybe an apartment building.
But like you fell down them all?
All of them
There's
at once.
No landing between the flights of stairs. Like you just straight down four flights?
That's a lot.
I don't know. I mean, maybe. It makes sense, I guess.
Maybe he was exaggerating a little bit.
I think he was exaggerating a little, but something did happen because he ended up with a concussion and he had a little scar to show for it.
Okay.
His family and people who knew him at the time did say that his manner and personality did change after this accident.
Oh, that's like a little bit sad.
A little bit, yeah. And they said he stopped caring about things like school. He didn't want to listen to rules. He was acting out terribly. Yeah. He actually made his younger siblings steal things for him from stores. And if they didn't do it, he would just beat the shit out of them.
All right.
Yeah. He got in a ton of fights, was super violent, just a giant asshole. He got tossed from school in sixth grade.
Wow. So, commitment to the cause.
Halfway there, living on a prayer, and he didn't get out.
Living on something.
He was partying a ton and drinking a lot. He would play a game also where he would offer someone less fortunate than he some money. And then when they would go to take it, he would either push them down or step on their hands.
Why?
Which is bold for a guy who we find out later has to murder someone for some pocket change. So that's a real bold
move of you.
For you to be being that asshole-ish to people who are...
My empathetic self can't handle
that.
Yeah,
it's a real dick move. So he had initially not been able to hold a job down like through his teens and early 20s.
But why?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, because he sounds so, like, with it and so responsible and, like, a really nice guy.
That, like, he'd have a really good resume.
You would think his coworkers would just be a dream to work with.
Stand-up guy.
Yeah. Weirdly enough, he wasn't. He was just floating around from job to job. And then somehow, and I'm not really sure how, he managed to open up a, like, crappy little speakeasy in Harlem with, like, a partner.
Oh.
Don't know how it happened. Don't know how he got someone to hang around him that long or how any of this happened.
Misery loves company.
Well, and also his partner apparently didn't really know him that well before opening it. So I think this was one of those, like, maybe they were sitting in a bar and they were like, let's open a speakeasy together.
You like to drink?
Me too. This will be fun. Because his partner ended up leaving the partnership and just quit.
Yikes.
And he said that he was, quote, disgusted with him.
Oh, I wonder what
happened. Something happened.
Yeah.
So then that place immediately went under because, of course, Marino is not capable of handling shit himself.
No.
And not really sure. But then he opened another speakeasy, the one that we are going to be talking about. This speakeasy that we're talking about was unnamed, and it was in the Bronx.
All right.
And it becomes the scene for all of this.
Uh-oh.
His wife, actually, Eleanor, did leave him at one point in 1931, and she was urging him to, one, get treatment for his temper.
Yeah.
She was like, I'm not dealing with this shit anymore. And she was also like, you should probably get treated for syphilis, because it can affect your mental health.
Can it kill you?
It can, and it can make you, like, violent and stuff. So she was like, you should probably get it checked out.
Yeah.
Because he, like, wouldn't go to a doctor to get it fixed.
It's like that with, like, a TBI, like together.
Yeah, it's like there's just a lot. So the doctor, he did go to a doctor, and the doctor said he had tons of stuff going on down there.
Oh,
he was
no.
like, this guy hasn't been to a doctor in a long time. And he was like, he's also in need of, like, psychological treatment because he's got severe anger issues and he needs to get them checked out.
Yeah.
But Marino was like, no,
I'm fine.
Yeah, he was like, I'm fine, Eleanor.
I'm living.
Get out of here. So his wife moved out. She was like, I'm not going to deal with this. And they were still married. And she was like, I do want to work things out with you if you get things under control.
Sounds like a very understanding woman.
Yeah, she was just trying to keep, you know, she was trying to keep the family together. But in the meantime, he met a patron who came into his bar all the time named Maybelle Carlson.
What a bomb name.
Right. She was blonde. She was pretty. She was a hairdresser.
Bitch.
Was it Ash who walked into this bar?
No.
No.
No, it was not. Don't even. No.
The answer is no.
No.
I was going to let that be a joke for a second, but the answer is no.
The answer is not.
Absolutely
not. Nah.
No, especially not. She had also fallen on some, like, kind of hard financial times. She was a heavy drinker herself.
Not me.
So she was in that speakeasy quite, you're like, no, not me.
Not me.
I don't know her. and she was in this speakeasy quite a bit.
Oh,
she was actually from a very wealthy New York City family. She had married, like, a really wealthy guy. She had moved to D.C., but then she ended up divorcing that guy, and she had come back to New York. And obviously, New York, especially at this time, was not very inviting if you were falling on financial hard times.
No?
So he sees her, he takes a liking to her, and he decides to invite her to stay in his home.
No, thank you.
Now, again, he's married, and his wife has moved out because she wants to work things out with him, but wants to give him space to.
Right.
And he has now brought another woman to live into the house.
Not good.
Yeah. So his wife at the time was like, excuse me? Like, that's not okay. You can't live with another woman while we're trying to work on our marriage. Like,
correct.
That's not okay. But she said he would just explode at her and basically, like, try to attack her.
Yeah. It sounds like she just wasn't going to get anywhere with him.
Yeah. So she basically was like, fuck off. And she just moved out for good with their one-year-old son.
Aw.
So March 17th, 1932, police were called to Marino's home, where Maybelle was still staying.
Mm-hmm.
They found Maybelle dead in bed.
Oh, no.
Marino said he got home the night before and he just thought she was sleeping.
Yeah, they usually are.
Just sleeping soundly. And the medical examiner said she had bronchial pneumonia. It was terminal. It was acute. And she, it was also acute and chronic. So they said that she had, like, a really bad case of pneumonia that she had probably had for a few days.
Okay.
That was what she died of. But he also noted that there were several bruises that were covered with, quote, and this is what it said in the report, flesh powder.
Oh, my goodness. That's a really funny way to say that. I know,
flesh powder.
I'm never going to not think of that when I do my makeup. I was going
to say, I feel like every time I'm going to be like, hold on, John, one second. I just have to put on my flesh powder.
I don't have any flesh powder on today. I don't know if you noticed.
And it's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird not to have flesh powder on. I don't feel
myself without my flesh powder.
I need it. She was clearly, though, unfortunately, she was clearly being abused.
Yeah, obviously.
And she had a black eye. She had several bruises on her body in like several different stages of healing.
Oh, Mabel.
And weirdly, Marino was the beneficiary on her $2,000 life insurance payout.
And they had they didn't stay together a very long time.
No. And technically, it's like they were just kind of like having a thing. Like it's like, and he was just kind of like trying to give her a place to stay while also like clearly having intentions. But yeah, turns out later, the truth did come out about this later. She did have pneumonia and was very ill for a couple of days.
But that wasn't it.
But it was discovered that Marino had literally force-fed alcohol down her throat because she was too weak to even hold a cup.
Oh my goodness.
And until she was completely incapacitated, then he put her in bed, moved the bed under an open window.
Mm-hmm. That's not where it was good freezing. For pneumonia.
Oh, you know what else is not good for pneumonia? Pouring ice water over the entire bed and the mattress.
How does your brain even think to be that able?
And then wrapping her in a freezing, wet, cold sheet.
Oh my God, this poor woman.
Until she died. And that's how she died.
What the fuck?
So this is who Marino is. There was also at this same, so that's Tony Marino. That's a little overview of him.
Okie dokie.
At his bar, he had, you know, he had a lot of patrons that came in all the time. And a lot of them were like severe alcoholics and were there like all day and night. One of these guys was Joseph Red Murphy. He ended up becoming kind of a bartender at the speakeasy, but he was just kind of like there to like drink
and also like help
would
out.
Also pour a cup every now and then. And I think he was getting paid like $1 a day.
Oh, $1 a day.
Literally. And again, he just spent his days drinking whiskey while he was doing his bartending job. He was also apparently, you know, like he was filthy, never took a shower.
Not the bartender I want.
He slept on a mangy sofa in the speakeasy a lot of times and would just wake up and like stumble over and pour a drink and down it.
Oh, that's very sad.
He also had a kind of tough life as a child. Like he had gone from foster home to foster home. He was very violent in his youth. He had just stumbled into Marino's bar to get a drink and he gave him like a quote unquote job.
Yeah.
Now, the next person we'll talk about is Frank Pasqua.
Pasqua.
Frank Pasqua was 24 years old. He was happily married with a 4-year-old son. And he owned Pasqua's burial service. He was like an undertaker. Mm-hmm. He had actually hired Michael Malloy, who we're going to talk about soon.
I thought you were going to say he was actually high when he went into the bar or like something like that. And I was like, what?
He was actually high. And this next thing will kind of show you how everything's like, how they all come together.
Yeah.
Because we know now that Joseph Murphy and Tony Marino work together.
Sure.
Frank Pasqua actually had hired Michael Malloy every now and then to just do some odd jobs and like polish coffins and shit.
Lovely.
When he was like hard up for drinking money. And he would also let him sleep in the mortuary sometimes.
Oh.
Yeah.
He sounds very nice until the end.
He's the worst. So don't worry. He actually uses this like for bad.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. Because I thought that too. I was like, well, that was nice of him. And then later I was like, oh, you fucker.
Using it to his advantage. Yeah.
So they became acquaintances, obviously, Mike Malloy and Frank Pasqua. And together they would go down to Marino's speakeasy and they would drink. Mm-hmm. So all of them began to know each other. Now, Malloy was said to drink literally everything. He would drink whatever was in front of him, and he would literally down it in 5 seconds, and he would just go all day.
Wow.
And he also loved the sardine sandwiches that Marino's bar served.
Gross.
Which sounds terrible.
Actually, like, total side note, we got a new cat food for the cats and there's like a whole ass sardines in it.
That's
and
terrifying.
We had to stop getting that kind because I couldn't handle it. And actually the cats wouldn't eat them, they would eat around them.
I could not do it. I don't blame them.
They have taste.
They have taste. They have refinement. Oh, Lux and Frankie.
My babies.
So Pasqua was a shady fuck. And he was working with insurance companies a lot through the burial service. And he was doing a lot of shady dealings with payouts. Because he was getting people to be insured for certain things. He was charging for certain things.
Well, that he didn't need to.
There was a lot of shady shit going on. So Marino and him would talk about this a lot. But they would both talk about it in Italian. According to On the House by Simon Reid, he's the one who said that they would talk about it in Italian a lot so people couldn't hear. They were, like, being really shady.
Yeah.
So who knows what other dealings they were trying to get got.
Is it fucked up that, like, I kind of love that?
No, it's cool.
Yeah, like I love that. It's
definitely cool. But then when you hear, like, this all sounds at first, you're like, oh, my God, this is, like, so slick. And terrible, but, like, real slick. And then when you get into terrible. It, also, the most bumbling shit you have ever... It gets to a point where you're like, this can't be real.
Well, and like this can't you said, be real. For pocket change.
For nothing. And it's like, obviously nothing is worth doing
murdering
someone. But it's like, it came to a point where they were splitting it among like eight of them. And it's like, it's just not.
It's like, here's and also, 1 cent for you.
There's so many people involved in this that you're like, how did all of you just be so okay with just trying to murder someone for money?
Yeah, that's a lot. But we'll get there. It was a time in New York.
It was a different time. So yeah, him and Marino would talk a lot about these insurance scams and all that. And he was actually the one who helped Marino get the policy out on Maybell.
Okay.
He was the one who was able to like scam that and right. get him the policy.
Probably like forged a signature, I bet.
Yeah, there was all these things where they used different names. He just knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
But all of this wasn't helping Marino's business because even the money he was getting from these insurance schemes and all that, he wasn't putting them back into the business.
Which is stupid.
And it was failing. And the depression is closing in all around them. He's about to lose this.
Yeah.
So now Marino is hard up. He needs cash. He's like, what am I going to do? And he's discussing this with Frank Pasqua and another regular, 29-year-old Daniel Kreisberg.
Okay.
Now, Kreisberg had 3 kids and a wife. He worked as a grocer, and by all accounts, he was like a good husband and father.
Wow.
He genuinely loved his family. In fact, up until the very end, he said, I only did this for my family. I was just desperate to give them a good life. Oh. And I did stupid shit, and I went down bad paths.
Yeah.
Which is like...
Okay, but like... murder?
Yeah, it's like, I want to give you that noble patch, but I can't.
But like, nobility and like morality go hand in hand, and like you're lacking the moral part of this, like, all.
That's really sweet that you love your children and your wife and you want to like provide for them, but like, you can't do that with murder. Like, murder takes away the cuteness of that, murder. Of that thought. Yeah, it's no good. But yeah, but by all accounts, he was not abusive. He was not like a violent person. At least there's that.
A little refresh for us.
But that's what got him talking to these creep asses and like getting into this whole thing.
All right.
So the three of them sat there and they were like, hey, who can we, you know, we can do this with insurance. Insurance pays out a lot of money. What can we do? So they're looking around the bar and they're like, why don't we just kill Malloy? And take out an insurance policy on him.
That's really mean.
Right? And then they were like, we'll just split it evenly among ourselves. No one will notice because we'll just get him super drunk and he'll drink himself to death, which no one will be shocked about.
And he was like, no.
And then they picked him because, one, he was a drunk, and two, he was homeless most of the time, and he had no real connections. He was from Ireland. He had no friends and family here to speak of. No, they thought this is a piece of fucking cake.
Right, like quote unquote perfect crime.
Yeah, and they were like, this dude has been drinking every second of every day for his entire life. As far as they knew, they were like, he's probably going to be weak. Like, he's probably falling apart as it is.
Honey, he's Irish.
Oh, how wrong they were. He is a biological phenomenon, this man. Wait until you hear what his body endured.
Yeah, it's outrageous. It's a lot. I was like driving to work one day when I listened to the original episode, and I was like, everybody at work, hello, like, let me tell you a story.
Can I tell you about Michael Malloy?
Y'all ever heard of this guy?
No.
Everyone was like, you're a hairdresser, like, you know that, right?
So July 29th, 1932, Pasqua went to the speakeasy and literally just walked up to Malloy because they were like, we're gonna do this, we're gonna take out the insurance on him, we're gonna kill him. So he just walks up to Malloy and he's like, hey, let's get you some insurance. You work for me.
I, for what though?
And he's like, you work for me. Like, you know, shit can happen. Let's do this. Let's make this official.
I'm such a great guy.
And Malloy was like, cool, let's do that.
Let's get some money.
Because he's like, all right, it's cool. Like, these are his only friends.
Yeah,
like,
and he's also, just he's like, probably okay. Just drunk.
Like, yeah, he doesn't give a shit. He's like, sure, get me insurance. Who gives shit? Okay. Like, can I sit here and drink more?
Can we please put that on a shirt? Sure, get me insurance. Who gives a shit?
Sure, get me
these
insurance.
These days, everybody's like, yeah, get me some motherfucking insurance. Get me insurance.
Who gives a shit? So he took him and literally told the insurance guy. He was like, okay, he works for me. He needs some insurance. Like, what if shit happens?
Right.
And the insurance guy was like, okay, like, how do you know him? And he was like,
from the bar.
And Malloy was like, Malloy said, he's like one of my only friends. And then he's like, he did me really like solid by letting me sleep in the mortuary and he's given me some odd jobs. And he was like, you know, like he's a really good guy. So he was like, who do you want to be the beneficiary of your life insurance? And he was like, well, this guy.
I'm not meant for this.
Frank Pasqua.
I'm not meant for this.
That's who I want to be the beneficiary. And they were like, even the insurance guy was like, you sure?
No.
Because to me, it seems like you don't really know him. Like, are you very positive? And he's like, I literally don't care.
He's like, do you have any like whiskey back
there? He's literally like, can I go back to the speakeasy, please?
Oh, Malloy.
Yeah. So he's the beneficiary. He put him down for it. And again, Pasqua is using the, like, he works for me, so I need the insurance. But the insurance guys are like, I don't know.
It's
like,
weird.
This seems creepy. And in fact, this one guy, like one of like the underwriter guys, was named Charles Minervini. And he said he was immediately dubious about what was happening. He was like,
oh, bitch, I love that word. Okay.
Yeah, dubious always feels really
you
good.
You did buy a vowel.
I did. But he was like, I didn't trust Pasqua. He was like, he gave me a vibe. I thought he was too slick.
Yeah.
I just didn't trust him.
Well, the whole situation is just shady as fuck.
And he even wrote on the back of the policy, he wrote, the applicant is to be employed by the beneficiary, an undertaker who is to pay premiums. This beneficiary desires this policy, he claims, for his protection.
Uh-huh.
So he's already writing on there like, mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's side-eyeing through his writing.
He should have written at the end,
M-H-M-M-M-M-M-M.
Exactly. Now, August 24th rolls around, he's rejected. The insurance is rejected.
Oh, no. Do you know why?
So, because it was shady as fuck.
Oh, they didn't want to be involved.
They were like, no, this doesn't make sense. You don't need insurance on him. He doesn't really even work for you. Let's be real. So he goes, let's be real, Pasqua. So Pasqua goes back to the speakeasy and he's like, well, shit. And he's telling Marino and Crisberry, like, they rejected it. I don't know what to do. He's like, I thought this was going to be easy. Like, I've done this a million times. I don't know why it didn't work.
Yikes.
Now, another patron overhears this, and his name was Joseph Fermento. He was friends with an insurance agent. So he's listening to this, and he's like, he doesn't hear the whole thing. He just hears, like, oh, he got rejected. And he's like, oh, I think I can help them out.
Trying to be helpful.
So he's friends with a guy. There's so many Josephs. He's friends with a guy named Joseph Pereca. And Pereca was an insurance agent with another company. And he was always looking for clients. So he was like, hey, maybe I can help you.
Right.
Now, he goes, so they try this whole thing over again with this new insurance agent. It goes to the next guy and it's rejected again.
Come on.
For the same thing. Because even this new other insurance agency is like,
It's like, why do you continue to try?
Because they want this.
Because money.
They've decided. They are killing Michael Malloy and they are getting an insurance payout.
Run, Michael. Run to Ireland.
Run. So now they brought bartender Joseph Murphy into the fold because Pasqua was like, I can't keep trying to get insurance under our names because red flags are going to start flying up. So he's like, we also can't keep using Michael Malloy's name. We're going to have to give him another identity.
Oh.
This is how stupid they are because first rejection should have been like, you know what? This is too much.
Real bad idea.
This is too much trouble that it's worth. Like,
sign from the universe.
We should just move on. Second rejection? Come on.
Yeah.
Move on.
Yeah.
And then if you're sitting there saying we got to change his name and bring someone else into it, guys.
No. Get out of there. Guys. Just try a different job.
It's not worth it.
Right.
Let it go. Like, what are you doing here? But no, he was like, let's bring the bartender into it. So he brings Joseph Murphy into it. And he's like, you have to try to get insurance for him. We'll give him a different name. And he's like, so we're going to say that, you know, Pasqua is going to call the insurance agent that he just got rejected by. That guy, Joseph, what is his name?
Joseph.
Whatever. Just Joseph. And he's going to call him and say, like, I know you guys rejected my insurance, but my friend is trying to get insurance for his friend. So he's going to be calling you, and I just wanted to, like, recommend you.
I'm just thinking,
because I had, like, such a good experience.
I'm literally thinking of, like, calling Blue Cross Blue Shield and being like, hi, so my name is Ash, but, like, my friend Elena, her friend, like, Deborah needs some insurance. So, like, can you guys help me out? Like, the other person on the line would be like, can your fucking friend just call and get their insurance? They'd be like,
who are you?
Like, what?
But Pasqua was kind of like, like a worker. He was a charmer.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was like, you know what? I think this guy likes me.
I mean, his name's fucking Pasqua.
I think he feels bad that I got rejected, so I'm going to kind of, like, put this out this. So he was like, you know what? I'm sending him to you. He's going to try to get insurance through you.
Okay.
Like, I want you to get the business.
Yeah, like, I'm such a great person.
I'm such a nice guy. So this Joseph guy had, like, weird blind faith in Pasqua.
Oh.
Like, I don't know why he felt like this very genuine connection with him, but he was like, I will follow you into the dark, Pasqua.
I guess it was just like Pasqua being Pasqua.
It was Pasqua's way.
Pasqua just Pasqua's.
I will die if that is not how you say his name, and we have said it so many times.
Like, how else would you say it?
There's no way.
Pasqua? Pasqua?
There's honestly no other way I see to
Pasqui.
Say it.
Pasqui?
And it's just so good.
Yeah, I
Pasqua.
Love it. Pasqua.
So he actually, this guy, Joseph, went against the insurance business's rules and policies by agreeing to drop off the paperwork to be picked up later signed.
No.
Now, the you're supposed to see the person sign it.
Correct.
So you can make sure that this is all, like,
that this is the person signing it.
And he's like, no. So it's like, and this is supposed to, like, you know, avoid, like,
insurance fraud.
Yeah. That whole thing. Nope. He was like, I'll just drop it off in school.
Yikes. It was totally bad.
Yeah. So they put the policy under the name Nicholas Mellory.
Mm-hmm.
So that was who Michael Malloy was now going to become.
Okay.
Nicholas Mellory. And they were using Joseph as, like, the guy trying to get it.
This is so involved.
They even went as far to get Nicholas Mellory, this fake guy. They got him an employment at a flower shop without him being a real person.
How?
By using, because he used it, Pasqua used his contacts. Because, again, he's the undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows him. The insurance people know him because he works with them regularly. The flower shop is right across the street. And he uses them all the time. He gives them tons of business.
So he's like, can you hire my friend Nick, who's never coming to work?
And they're like, absolutely.
That's how that went down.
These are his contacts. They're gonna vouch for him.
So they did.
And they had to, so as this is going through, they ended up having to bring in two other guys to this whole scheme. And these guys were named Anthony Tough Guy Bastone.
Shut the fuck up. I'm gonna start calling you Elena Tough Guy or Carter. Elena Tough Guy.
Tough Guy. Yeah, he was a scary guy. He actually provided liquor to a lot of these speakeasies, which was very illegal.
Mm-hmm.
So he was
in brazen.
Some shit, like some gangster mob shit.
Bitch, I love that.
I know you were like, oh, shit.
Literally. I fucking love that shit.
He was a scary dude. And according to, actually, Pasqua called him, quote, a very bad character, a gunman.
Pasqua. Don't call the kettle black.
And the other guy they brought into the fold was Joseph Maglione.
Oh, the only Joseph in the entire
Another
thing.
Joseph. So Maglione was a tough guy, a criminal type. So, like, we're really getting into the deep here.
Yeah.
For not a lot of money. It's like everybody needs to calm down.
Right.
The policy they were going to get was going to be $1,600. It's obviously inflated now.
Sure.
But they were going to have to split it all around. So
it was
going to be
what
less,
it was worth back then.
Yeah. It was going to be less than $300 each back then. So.
Oh, you already did it, bitch.
But I mean, from back then. It's like, no, that's not important.
I was half listening because I was Googling.
You already did it, bitch. But they were able to get through all this shadiness. They were also able to get something called double indemnity. And what this is it's a provision for payment of double the face amount of an insurance policy under certain conditions.
That's a motherfucking loophole.
And one of these conditions is death as a result of an accident.
Mm-hmm.
So they were able to get The policy from 1600 to 3576. So now we're getting up there now.
Big money.
I don't know what it is now.
I'm working on it.
I hope that you'll be able to Google. I hope you'll be able to Google it out of the atmosphere and tell me.
So I said $1,600 in 1930 now, and it said $1,600 in 1930 is equivalent in purchasing power to about $25,586.01 today.
Damn. All right.
So good money.
So what about 3,576?
Hold on 1 second.
Because that's got a, that's a significant amount.
What was the number? 3,000?
Not enough to murder someone.
576?
3,576, yeah.
3,576. Sorry. That would be worth, it didn't pop up. It started
whatever,
giving me
a
math lesson.
It's a lot, guys. Sorry. It's a good amount.
Yeah, the money.
It's a good amount now.
I mean, it's more than 25,000 today. So like, it's a solid amount of money.
But again, we say, not enough to murder someone.
No, no money is enough to murder
now,
somebody.
These guys, I want to tell you right now so that when all of this shenanigans occur, you can remember what they were referred to in the press later.
Okay.
Collectively, they were referred to as the Murder Trust.
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound slick and like, ooh, the Murder Trust? It almost sounds like the Brain Trust, which is the farthest from what they were.
Do you know what it just reminds me of? And this is exactly who we are as people. So you thought the Brain Trust, and then immediately my head just went to the Bling Ring.
My God. That's honestly, that's about as...
Makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The Bling Ring. Watch that movie if you haven't.
They're,
it's horrible,
Lord.
But so great.
Well, they they all agreed because of this indemnity clause.
Sure.
They were like, you know what? It has to be accidental. Obviously, we want that insurance payout. So they were like, you know what? Like we said, drinking himself to death is really the only way. They were like, this is going to be easy. It's going to... Nobody's going to question it.
Is that technically classified an accident then?
Yeah, an accidental death.
Oh, okay.
So they would get that double payout.
I feel like for Michael Molloy, that would just be natural causes.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, it wouldn't be looked at as like intentional or anything because like he does it
yeah.
so often.
Yeah.
Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the US? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. I love Fast Growing Trees because Drew and I love gardening and stuff like that, but we always forget to run our little errands on the weekend where we go to the nurseries and say, I'd like that tree over there, please. But instead, I can just sit my booty on the couch, type in fastgrowingtrees.com, and get whatever plant I want. I just recently ordered a lemon tree because, mama, when life gives you lemons, you can make lemonade and lots of delicious lemon-flavored desserts, which I'm excited about. And it's going to get to my door in 1 to 2 days, and then I'll have so many lemons. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code MORBID at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code MORBID at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code MORBID. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. It was almost the perfect crime. Stacks of cold, hard cash sitting on the table, unguarded. Who wouldn't be tempted to slowly reach their hand out and steal a pile of Monopoly money from the banker? Monopoly is one of those games that can bring out our most devious selves, and Monopoly Go takes that gleeful mischievousness to your phone in a wildly popular twist on the classic that you can play anywhere, anytime. Collect rent from friends on iconic properties, bankrupt them by pulling a heist on their vault, even use a wrecking ball to shut down their monuments. And Monopoly Go has timed tournaments where you can team up with friends to unlock big prizes and try to top the leaderboards. Whether you're helping out your friends or going head-to-head for riches, Monopoly Go is an absolute blast. Go download it now free on the App Store or Google Play.
So they were like, let's do this. So Bastone, who is the tough guy, Anthony Bastone.
Mob guy.
He was actually like, why don't we just straight up murder him by slicing his throat?
He's like, that's usually how I do it.
He literally immediately was like, this is a lot of shit for murdering someone for money. Can we just kill him?
But then you're like, no, because we won't get the extra money from the accident, tough guy.
Well, that's the thing. It's like the rest of the brain trust, or I mean murder trust.
You was mean like, bling ring.
Was literally like, hey, when we slit people's throats, it doesn't like scream accident
no.
to a lot of people. So no,
you like, I picture tough guy like slamming down a whiskey and 100%. Just being like, what if he was shaving?
He was yelling.
Yeah, screaming.
He yells everything. Anthony Tough Guy Bastone.
Hey!
You can hear him down the street. I know it.
Yeah.
Even when he's just telling you something like, I got to go to the grocery store, he's screaming it at your face.
Yeah.
He's so, and he's red. He's angry.
It's like a wonder all that he never got caught prohibitioning.
It's true. It's a wonder.
But he
it
did
really
it.
Is. But he did.
As well, I guess he must have.
You know, tough guy? Yeah, it's fine. But yeah, tough guy was pissed about it. He's like, I don't want to do this subtly. Yeah. And they were like, well, we have to. So there was these other two tough guys that were hanging out at the bar.
Okay.
Edward Smith and John McNally. And they were like, hey, we can help out with whatever you're trying to do. And they were like, okay, but and they were like, that would be great. We think we know what we want to do, but if we need like extra help, we'll grab you. And they were like, cool. We want a piece of the pie though.
And yeah, and like, now we know what you're doing.
Sure, you can have like a small piece of pie. And they were like, nope, we want half the policy. And they were like, we'll talk to you guys later. So
TTYL.
I don't know about
they
that.
They actually just left them on red.
Yeah, exactly. That's precisely what they did.
Yeah.
They were like so fun to talk to.
Red you. Thursday at 9 p.m.
So they set out. They're like, all right, let's get him to drink himself to death. Like they huddled. They did a chant. They
hoorah.
High-fived. Hoo-ha. All right, let's do this.
That, they would, though. They're
they 100% bros. Did. They're so bros.
And I bet they did it on a Saturday because they're for the boys.
I bet it was. Oh, I love it.
I love making you laugh so hard.
That was funny. That was a good one. But Marino decided, he was like, okay, here's how we're going to do it. He's like, Malloy's going to come in. And, you know, usually he gets a tab, but lately he's been not giving him his tab because he's been running so low on funds himself for the bar.
Yeah.
That he's been basically what Malloy was doing was he'd like run out, do some street sweeping, and he'd run back in with like a little bit of money, drink whatever he could. And that's what he would do. So he was like, I know if I say to him, you know, you've been such a loyal customer to me and a good friend, I'm going to give you unlimited tab. He was like, Malloy's going to fucking die. He's going to be so excited.
So, literally, the goal is that he will die.
He literally will. And so he comes in and he's like, hey, Malloy.
Mikey boy.
So I've decided that you are just going to be able to drink for free whenever you want. Malloy did not question this.
Why would you?
He did not raise an eyebrow.
I'm not going to lie to you. I wouldn't question that.
He was fucking psyched.
Yeah.
So he was like,
let's get it.
Let's begin.
Infinite Mai Tais. So
and it was infinite because he just started knocking them back all day. Nothing. But the thing was, nothing was happening. He was getting drunk a little bit, but like this dude,
that was his natural state.
They were like, they literally were like, we were shocked. Like we thought something was wrong because wow. They were like, why is he not getting like
everything was right
inebriated.
For him.
It was. And then they were like, was he just so happy that his like adrenaline was like overriding any effects because he was so psyched?
Maybe.
He was just happily getting toasty at the bar. Like he was just like, yep,
get
this
it.
Is great. I don't have to stop. So he ended up drinking a bottle of gin the first night to the face.
Wow.
And then he just like went to chill at the end, came back in the morning, started again in the morning, and drank all day until closing.
But
did not leave the bar.
Isn't stool. That what he usually mostly
he
did
does,
anyway?
But he would kind of have to like
take
stop
some
to like maybe get some more money or whatever. He doesn't have to stop.
Right.
He's just sitting on the, and he can have any liquor he wants.
Right.
Now it's not like, oh, I can afford
top
this
shelf,
one.
Bitch.
I can have whatever I want. So he drank all day the second day until closing.
I love, though, that this is backfiring on the
meanie
guy.
Oh, it backfires.
Tony.
Forever and always. It just, like backfiring forever.
I love
That's
it.
That's what it is. So the third day he comes back in, he starts all over again. Now he's drinking whiskey, he's drinking gin, he's drinking vodka, he's just mixing everything.
Party.
Party. He left. That just makes me think of that Katya clip where she's like, party.
I think she was making fun of Adore Delano in that clip. I love it. I'm not sure, though.
I just love that clip. So he left and was totally fine, like barely stumbling out the door after just piling liquor into his body.
Oh my God.
And they're all trying to figure out this shit because they're like, this is going to take forever. He's not dying.
Well, we're going to lose all our fucking alcohol.
He's not drinking himself to death. Like, what is happening? So they kept thinking he would die overnight because they were like, maybe, which I'm like, you guys are just sitting around being like, maybe he's just like puking all over himself and aspirating right now. Like, you're just sitting there being like,
horrible.
Sure hope he's dying of a terrible overdose alone in a gutter. Like,
that's really what kind horrific. Of
shitty people are you? So every time they would think he's just, you know, he must be dying in his sleep.
Oh.
Nope. He was just coming right back again the next day.
Michael Malloy had a liver made of steel, bitch.
3 more days, he did the exact same thing.
Wow.
A binge. I mean, he was just hard. That's going cray at cray. It. So then they up the ante. They start giving him different things, not just alcohol that you drink. They gave him turpentine.
What is that again?
That's like paint thinner.
Oh, shit.
They gave him some rat poison in it.
Oh, my God.
They just kept mixing them all together and down the hatch they happily went.
Maybe that's the actual cure to COVID-19 is just drink.
Apparently.
All the time.
Because then Marino was like, this isn't working either. Because they were just kind of mixing them into the alcohol.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, we have to literally just change out his shots with like straight up something else.
Pour him a whole glass of
they
that.
They started giving him just straight up wood alcohol, which is like in paint thinner, in antifreeze.
Wow.
Yeah. So they started taking his shots and they give him a regular shot of like whiskey. Then the next shot would be a straight shot of like turpentine.
I wonder if he had like burned off all of his taste buds or something with the alcohol.
10 milliliters of this stuff should blind you.
Wow.
2 to 8 ounces should kill an adult. They gave him a few regular shots of alcohol. Then they just straight up switched to wood alcohol. Just every single shot. He didn't even flinch. He asked for more. He kept asking for them. They kept giving. They gave him several shots of this shit. He was drunk, but just left. Came back the next day. Totally fine. So they did the same thing. Shots of whiskey and then shots of wood alcohol. They did this for several fucking days. He drank straight wood alcohol for days.
And I can't even eat a fucking piece of cheese without literally dying. Like, I'm pissed, actually, right now.
One night they said they watched him drink 1.5 quarts of wood alcohol in one sitting. In one sitting! Like, and they were like, at the very least, he should be blind. What is happening right now?
At the very least, he should be fucking, like, on the floor seizing.
He didn't even have alcohol poisoning. Like, no symptoms of it.
Wow.
He was drunk, but he was like, he would just get up and come back
in. He just was alcohol.
So finally, one night, he did pass out on the floor, like just crumpled into a ball.
That's the other thing. I'm like, he didn't even pass out any of the other nights there.
So he was appearing to like die. And they were like the breathing was getting labored. And they all just stood over him and watched.
Waiting, like
they
were literally with a timer.
Because at this point, it had been days and days. And they were like, what the fuck? So they were like, they were just waiting. They watched. And then all of a sudden, he began to snore.
I love that.
He was fucking sleeping.
He's dozing, bitch.
He's just dozing on the
floor. In dreamland, what the fuck is up?
He's in, like, Sandman has come.
REM.
Enter Sandman.
I love it.
It's, now they decide, they're like, we gotta do something else. But again, because, you know, Anthony Tough Guy over there is being like,
we have to throw something!
And they're like, no, we have to maintain the subtlety, dude. We want that insurance payout.
And so, he's like, I don't even care!
So now Pasquale was like, let's give him like a bad stomach ache. That'll be fun. Which I'm like, whoa, you took this into let's just like kill him into let's give him a stomach ache too. That sucks. So that, because they're trying to like fuck him in the gut now. So they were like, let's do raw oysters soaked in wood alcohol.
You had me until the wood alcohol.
And Pasqua said he saw a man who died after eating oysters and whiskey. So this, the brain power we're dealing with is like, whoo.
After eating oysters and whiskey, he said that he died?
Yep. And what he theorized, Pasquale, he said he believed that the alcohol would act kind of like formaldehyde does, and it would preserve the raw oysters in his stomach, and they would just sit there and give him lots of issues.
Wow.
But what I wonder, I'm like, Fellas, did any of you stop and maybe say, hey, Pasqua, why do you just want to give him food poisoning? Like, what are we getting out of that except having to clean up vomit? I don't understand what the end game there is.
Well, and then he's vomiting up all the stuff that you're giving him. So exactly. That's like very counterproductive.
He's vomiting out the alcohol. So Pasqua, to me, I'm like, I think you're just like a little bit of like a sadist here. Yeah. Like, you just want to see some bad shit happen. But they were like, apparently no one asked that.
Damn, Pasqua.
So Pasqua was like really into this and they did it.
Okay.
He was totally fine. Didn't even have a stomach ache.
And he got some fucking oysters down, out of it. Let's
down
get it.
A tray of oysters soaked in wood alcohol. And he was like, whew. And he kept walking out every night being like, I feel the best I've ever felt. Like, he was like, I'm living. Like,
I mean, yeah.
Like, Michael Lalonde is
aphrodisiac up in there.
He's living his best life right now. So they were like, all right, what's the next thing?
A what?
So Murphy was like, well, you know, he loves those sardine sandwiches that we sell. And they're like, all right, how can we fuck with those?
So gross.
So they were like, let's just give him a rotten one, like a rotting sardine sandwich. And they were like, well, that won't do it alone. So they were like, no, of course. Let's like put poison in it. And let's also put carpet tacks in it. That'll just tear up his stomach.
And his, like, everything. Ouch.
So they also added bits of broken glass and pieces of tin can to the sandwich.
That's horrible.
Handed it to him. Motherfucker ate it and said, this is great.
He's like, I would love another. Did you guys add pickles to this? I'm getting a crunch.
You are killing it. Wow. Like, walked out totally fine.
He's like, what did I do?
Not even a stomach ache. Nothing.
One of the first things I notice about people is their smile. I'm a sucker for teeth. I just love good teeth. And that made me hyper aware of my own teeth. And for a while, I was like, I don't know if these are like the best that they could be. But guess what? Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? To get started, all you need to do is order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. That is cheap. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered right to your door. They make it easy to kick off your smile journey. Bite's treatment costs thousands of dollars less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA or FSA if you've got one. I personally used Bite, and I am so much more confident in my smile now. I also use their whiteners, and oh my god, these pearly whites are popping off! Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code MORBID at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. Hum! That's me biting. Dive into the chilling new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, the riveting adaptation of the best-selling true crime book. Based on shocking true events, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. Go deep into the hidden world of the town's tormented teenagers as detectives race to solve the sinister crime. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays, only on Hulu.
Wow.
Dude ate shards of glass, tin can, and carpet tacks, and rat poison.
He was in. Michael Malloy is infinite.
He is.
Like, what is the. Is that the Fault in Our Stars where it's like. What do they say? They say, like, together we are infinite or something.
So what, I never saw that.
I don't. The stars are infinite. I don't know. Michael Malloy is infinite. That's all I know.
He's like the childlike empress. I don't.
Michael Malloy is pie.
He is. He just goes on.
Yeah.
It's just. It's truly outrageous. Reading this, I was like, this can't be real. And it's real.
It's real.
This is real.
It's some real shit.
So on the next, they were like, all right, what next? We can't kill him with drinking straight up turpentine, like tine. We can't give him antifreeze.
I hate that I just thought of this, but why didn't one of them just like run him over with the car by accident, or like find somebody to run him over with a car?
You should have been in the murder trust.
I know, right? That's fucked up.
Keep that in mind.
Okay.
Because you might be a little on to something here.
It's been a long time since I heard this case.
I think you're in the murder trust.
Oh, no.
So they were like, what's next? Not the car. They haven't got there yet. Don't worry, they do.
Okay, maybe my mind knew that I knew that.
I don't know. I think you're in the murder trust with them. I'm going to go with that.
It's me.
I like that better. So then again, it's starting to get cold out. So on the next really cold night, they were like, let's let him drink till he passes out. So they did that. Then they dragged him in the snow to a park and then poured 5 gallons of ice cold water onto him.
Chilly. That made me cold just thinking about it.
And then they just left. And we're like, well, he'll definitely die out there. So, which I would think that too.
Yes.
They arrive at the speakeasy the next morning, and who's laying on the fucking floor of the speakeasy asleep?
This bitch.
Like, Michael Malloy. Oh. Like, that dude, I hate that this shit happened to him, because he should be alive today. He would be. He would have lived to be 500 years old.
Yes, he would have been still a phenomenon.
Michael Malloy.
He is.
He's laying on the floor of the speakeasy when they come in, and he's like, shh, you guys.
He's like, guess what happened?
You would never guess. I woke up. It was so cold, but it's warm in here, so I'm good.
I don't even know how I got there.
And they're like, my dude, what? Wow. So now they're like, all right, we got to figure out something. So then one of them was like, what, a car?
Yeah.
What if a car hits him? What if he stumbles out there, a car hits him? That's believable.
Seems like the easiest one before the sardines and the wood paint and the oysters and the stomach aches.
I think there's some sadists among us here. And I think they just wanted to see some shit happen.
Yeah.
I think there was some like wannabe scientists who went the evil route and were like, let's just experiment. I want to see what's going on. So they got another guy, Harry Green. And he drove a cab.
Okay.
For a cab company. So they offered him like $150. And he was like, sure, I'll run a guy over with my taxi.
Wow.
Why not? Which I'm like, wow, what a ring of friends.
Also, I want that on a shake. A taxi driver is, sure, I'll run a guy over with my taxi.
For $150. That's fine.
Yeah, it's worth it.
So January 30th, 1933, they said they were going to do it. They're like, let's do this. We have a plan. They had a real plan.
Yeah.
They crammed all 7 of these idiots into a taxi with Michael Malloy after they had already gotten him super drunk. And they basically brought him to a place, all of them together. Then Maglione and I think Bastone at that point pulled him out of the car, stood in the middle of the road holding him up. And then just had Green drive the taxi at them and they jumped out of the way.
Also, did we think no one was going to see us do that?
Well, what happened the first time was they actually had to move because one of them, I think it was Maglione, yelled stop and made him stop because he was like, someone just turned on their light at a residence.
Oh my gosh.
So they had to bring him somewhere else. They tried again. Green missed him with the car.
How do you miss a pedestrian with a car?
Twice.
Usually intentionally.
He misses them twice. And then the third one, he finally did hit Michael Malloy at 45 miles an hour.
I need to know about his taxi driving skills.
So they said he hit the windshield hard. He rolled into a gutter nearby. So they were like, that's it. He rolled into the gutter and they were like, he's gone.
Yeah.
Let's leave him there. Everything will be cool.
Aw.
So the next morning, they're like, waiting for the headlines. You know, body discovered.
Yeah.
No.
Never.
Nothing's coming up.
Michael Malloy.
Didn't hear a damn thing.
No.
So they were like, what the fuck? So they went back to the spot. He's nowhere to be found.
Oh my God.
And they were like, what the fuck? So they were like, okay, you know what? Maybe he crawled away somewhere to try to like get help, or he crawled away to like be alone or something. Like,
yeah,
we're just going to leave it. Somebody will find him. He's definitely dead. But they're starting to panic because now a day or two is going by and nothing's happening. So now they're like, well, we need to find someone that resembles him, and we need to put his identification card into their pocket and commit even further fraud and an additional murder.
Wow.
Yep. So it's now this whole thing of like, let's get a few like $1,000 for murdering someone easily is now turning into like multiple murders,
like a full fraud, blown like second job,
like faking death. It's a lot. It's like H.H. Holmes, but like the generic version, like Mr. Pibb.
The off-brand version.
Very, very off-brand version that you're like, I don't even know if that's edible.
Yeah, no.
That's what this is.
Ew, Mr. Pibb.
So February 6th, they go out looking for a fake Mike Malloy because they haven't heard anything still.
Right.
They finally find a guy and they agree they're going to take this guy out. Because they were shocked at how much this guy resembled him, apparently.
Just this random guy?
This random guy. 31-year-old Joseph Patrick Murray. And he had moved from Ireland as well.
I was going to say, when you said Murray, I was like, what do we have against the Irishman out there?
What do we have?
Yeah.
What is this about?
Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, he said on this day that Murray said that he was looking for work and he had stopped into the speakeasy to grab a drink. they approached him and they were like, hey, are you looking for work? Like, I heard you talking to someone. And he was like, yeah. So they were like, oh, we can offer you some work doing like these odd jobs around here. And they were like, cool, that's awesome. They were like, first, let's celebrate this new employment of yours. Let's drink. No. So they had him drink until he was passed out. Then they put the card, the identification card, in his pocket and loaded him into Green's taxi.
Oh my God.
Then they tried to do the whole thing, like the whole fucking hitting him with the car thing that they did with Malloy. But it was light out and there was too many people out. So when they started to do it, they were like, we should probably put him back in and wait for a little while.
Yeah.
The most bumbling idiots I've ever seen in my entire... This is the most unslickest crime I have ever seen committed. So they just bring him back to Marino's speakeasy and like dump him on the floor for a little while, wait for it to get dark and for people to go inside. And then they're like, okay, let's do this again.
Oh man. I need to know like what their wives were thinking about like where they were.
So they did end up they did the same thing with Murray and they hit him at 30 miles an hour.
Whoosh.
Yeah. And the thing that really got them though was they didn't look around well enough because a shop owner named Valen Jenkins witnessed the entire thing.
And must have just been like, what the am I witnessing?
What the fuck is going on?
Like they're holding him up in the middle of the street.
And then just running out of the way and then jumping in the car.
I've never seen a squealing game off like this.
So he called 911, who showed up right away. He also got their license plate number.
Iconic.
So he was brought to the hospital and again, in his pocket is an ID card for Nicholas Mellory.
Right.
He was there for 55 days with internal injuries, five broken ribs, and a concussion. He survived.
I'm so glad.
Yeah. So Pasqua is still not letting this go. Pasqua is not letting all this. He's like, nope. He contacts a doctor who he usually has sign off on his death certificates for his business, the doctor that lives across the street from him. His name is Dr. Frank A. Menzala. And he was like, listen, doc. He offers him some money and he says, when we call you to a death scene soon, can you just pronounce the guy dead? And can you pronounce him dead of pneumonia and sign the certificate? Like, no questions asked. And this guy's like, sure. Which is all right.
Like, where do you find a doctor like that?
So the plan was this. Marino was going to find a room that they could rent, like some kind of like tenement house or something. The only thing that this had to have was a gas like line in the room, which I guess they used for like lamps and stuff. So because at first I was like, why would you have a gas line just in a room?
The 30s.
But I didn't even think about that. I was like, oh.
Isn't that terrifying to think of?
It really is. So they were thinking what they were going to do was get this guy, bring him up to the room. They were going to gas him to death. Because that's harder to detect.
I just can't.
Yeah. So then they were going to get the doctor up there. The doctor was going to look at him and go, oh, no, pneumonia. Pneumonia. Sign it off. And then, boom, they get the life insurance policy.
Oy.
They're still for that. They're like, we're getting this one way or another. So 5 days later, Michael Malloy walks into Marino's speakeasy. He had been at Fordham Hospital with broken bones. Motherfucker survived.
Yeah, he did.
He was found by a police officer and brought to the hospital. They said, quote, he was covered with blood. His head was all cut. His clothes, face, shirt, and everything he had on was all covered in blood. I asked him for his name, and he told me his name was Michael Malloy. That's what the police officer said. He also didn't remember anything that happened.
He didn't? So wild.
So he was not suspicious of his friends at all.
I really hate that.
I hate it. Because he didn't even connect them to it. He remembered nothing of that night. So he was like, guys, never believe it. Someone hit me with a car. And meanwhile, they had tried three separate times. Like, what?
They're like, yeah, we did.
So now they're back on their bullshit to kill Malloy. Because now he's back. So they're like, cool, we don't have to worry about a lookalike anymore. Let's just go with the original plan. But let's gas Malloy now.
Well, I hate that.
This dude who has survived how many attempts on his life by these bumbling assholes in this brain trust?
Right.
And now they're just going to gas him to get that fucking payout?
He deserved to live.
He did.
I mean, everybody does.
So February 22nd, he's in the speakeasy and they challenge him to a drink off, a couple of the guys.
If I was Michael Malloy, I'd be like, boys.
Oh, he would. I'd
be like, yeah? My suspicion would raise. I'd be like, do you know me?
Have you been?
Is it?
Hello.
As
I ate a sardine sandwich with tacks in it. So let's be real. But Malloy was just psyched to be like hanging out.
He thought that they were bonding.
Yeah.
He thought these were his bros.
Exactly. And so one of them is just drinking whiskey and they're giving him the wood alcohol again.
Yeah. Because
they're trying to get him fucked. So he finally does start getting like really drunk and he ended up drinking 2 quarts of wood alcohol.
Wow.
And then he did pass out. And they said he was actually frothing at the mouth. Oh, like really that's intense. Terrible. So they dragged him to the room that they had rented. And it was Joseph Murphy who was like bringing him in. And when the landlady was like, what's is this it? About? He was like, oh, this is my brother. And he's like really drunk, but he's also really sick. So I just need to get him up there so he can rest. And she's like, cool. So they got him in there. They had a rubber hose. They secured the rubber hose to the gas line, stuck the other end into his mouth while he was passed out, wrapped a towel around his face to block all his airways, and then just turned on the gas.
That's so horrific.
Yeah. And at one point, they actually stopped because Kreisberg was like, I don't know if I can do this. It was Kreisberg and Murphy who were in the room. And Kreisberg was the one turning the knob. Mm-hmm. He's the one with 3 kids and the one that's like...
It's a little late for that,
supposedly
though.
A good father and husband.
He's not.
And he's... You can tell that this guy is just a giant wimp.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just a wimp. And he's clearly... I mean, how do you get there?
I don't even want to
You can't
know.
Get there and then go... Oh, I don't want to do this. Like, honey, your hand's on the knob. You've stuck a fucking hose in his mouth and you've covered
you
his
don't
face
want to
with
do
a towel.
It.
You're here.
Right.
It's like, you don't get to pretend that you have a conscience suddenly.
All of a sudden.
But Murphy was like, dude, if you don't turn that back on, we're all going to get it. Because
right.
These guys were like getting pissed at this. This was obviously frustrating all of them. They all have like mob ties and like criminal world ties, underworld
yeah.
ties.
Especially Tony.
And they've all made it pretty clear. If this doesn't go off like a hitch and one of you fucks up, it's going to be you.
Right.
So Murphy was like, I don't want to get got. Like, just turn it on. We're already
kids.
Here. And so he turned it back on and Michael Malloy finally died.
Oh, so sad.
So they pretended he was still drunk and sick, and they called doctor. You know, Dr. Manzella.
You know, doctor.
You know, doctor. So he comes in. They tell the landlordy. Landlordy.
The landlordy.
The landlordy.
Landlordy.
That's what I would want to be if I was a
hell yeah.
A land person. I just...
Did you say that? I just really want to be a land person.
I want to be a land person. But yeah, so they tell the landlady, like, you know, my brother's sick, so I'm having a doctor come check him out. So the doctor comes, he's pronounced dead, and he gives Pasqua the info for the insurance, and he wrote the cause of death as pneumonia.
What a
douche. So he did everything they had to.
Fuck that guy.
So now everything is going smoothly, finally.
For like, now.
It's happening. He was promptly buried. Because they got to get him in the ground.
Right.
They got him in the ground. Because also, who's the undertaker? Who are you going to call? Frank Pasqua.
That's who
you're going to call for.
That's who you should never call.
So Pasqua, now that he's got that all taken care of, he goes to the insurance company to collect.
Oh, of course.
The insurance agent said, cool, cool, cool. When can I see the body?
Oh, no.
And he's like, huh? And then he's like, well, it's already buried. And they said immediately, ding, 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 red flags went up. They were like, nope, we're supposed to see the body, bro. Like, you're an undertaker, you know that.
Right.
So an investigation immediately started. The insurance fucker. People were like, no, police, hello, like something's weird. They eventually, I really recommend you read this book because they go into great detail of how this all happened. They eventually connected them all through the insurance fraud and just the sloppiness of this whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
And they all started turning on each other.
Right.
And they were all like, some of them were confessing. Some of them were saying they didn't have anything to do with it, but they listened to somebody else do this. Murphy cracked first.
Of course Murphy did.
He gave it all. He just gave it all.
He was like, I got kids.
And then Kreisberg. That is not his name. That sounds like a cereal.
That's the newest wild Thornberry.
Kreisberg cracked immediately. And he was like, I have kids and I didn't want to get killed. And they kept telling me I would get killed if I didn't do it. Like, he's played that whole thing. Marino stayed silent. And he was like, no, I didn't do it. I don't know anything about this. I don't know him. I don't know them.
What?
I don't know anything. But then he was faced with everybody else confessing. And they were like, yeah, like, we know you're like the head one of this, so like, maybe. So he did start like letting things out, but it was mainly making him look like he didn't have a lot to do with it, but he was just kind of like,
he just fell into the scenes. It.
Yeah. Pasqua was stonewalling. He was like, nope, I don't know anything about this. But then he fucked up.
Oh, what did he do? I forget.
Because remember, he was supposed to not, you know, this whole Michael Malloy and Nicholas Mellory thing. They're not supposed to know that this isn't Mike Malloy.
Right. It's supposed to be Nicholas Mellory.
Nicholas Mellory. So they started talking about the doctor and how he knew the doctor and how the doctor knew Nicholas Mellory. And he says, you know, he was like, how did you know that this doctor was on this case? Like, I know you know the doctor, but like,
yeah,
you're not supposed to know that he was on this case. And he was like, Pasqua says, I know it for a fact. And he said, how did you know it? And he said, because Malloy told me. And he was like, you mean Mike? Like, what do you, and he did Malloy? That, like, he was like, you mean Mike? Like, to try to get him to be like, yeah. And he said, yes.
Oh,
and then he goes,
what an idiot.
You called him Mike. And he was like, oh no, you know what? Mellory, like, we used to call him Malloy sometimes because, like, I heard it wrong the first time. Like, no, I'm talking about Nick, not Mike. And he's like, nope, you're talking about Mike Malloy because you just fucked up.
Right.
And now I know that it's you.
Right.
Like, he totally fucked himself
over. I love that. That's like Scott Peterson when he was like, oh yeah, like, my wife was. And everybody was like, excuse me?
That we don't know. We don't know. That's why is that past tense? So immediately, shit went down.
Bing,
everybody
bang,
started confessing.
Boom.
They all got caught.
I love it.
One of the newspaper articles at the time said the headline was insurance murder, trust seen in arrest of five for man's death. And it says, barring the most unbelievable details of an alleged murder trust's cold-blooded killing of at least one man and a gruesome plot to defraud insurance companies, District Attorney Samuel Foley today announced the arrest of a Bronx undertaker and four others for homicide and a former Republican alderman from Harlem as an accessory. That's the doctor.
Oh, what an idiot.
Yeah. The success of that investigation was attested by the appearance of the accused men in the lineup at police headquarters this morning and the fact that two others are now being detained as material witnesses. Because now they're getting all the other people that they involved in this.
Of course.
They were all found guilty, all five of them, and they were all sentenced to the electric chair.
Wow.
And on June 7th, 1934, they were all put to death.
Gemini season, bitch.
Now, and one other headline I'll just leave you on because, like, this was huge.
Oh, of course.
It was for the New York Times, May 13th, 1933, and it was entitled Insurance Murder Charged to Five, Tale of Horror is Told. And it says five men were charged with murder and two others were detained as material witnesses yesterday after an inquiry into charges that a derelict man had been murdered to collect, and it says $1,788, mm-hmm. for which the defendant had insured him. A story of horror was unfolded by the police and the DA Samuel J. Foley of the Bronx. It concerned a man who proved so hardy of life that another man with a false identification card almost was done to death as a substitute. The authorities were admittedly skeptical 2 weeks ago when they were informed of the plot, but their first search for proof not only uncovered the murder of Michael Malloy, a former stationary fireman, but led them on to clues that indicated a woman may have also been a victim.
Talking about
Maybell.
Right. Talking about me.
So that is the story of Michael Malloy.
The motherfucking indestructible.
A.K.A. Mike the Durable. Which, yep. I love
or
that. Iron Mike. I love Mike the Durable.
What was it? What did they say? So what of life?
So hardy. He's so hardy.
I love that.
He's
I'm
the
feeling
hardiest.
So hardy.
He truly is.
Ed Hardy thought that he was hardy.
No way.
Mike Malloy was
Mike
the hardy.
Mike Malloy is the hardiest.
The OG hardy.
That story just blew. And that's like an overview. Like,
oh, yeah.
Read this book. Go look it up. Because it is, whew. Like, all the intricacies of these insurance scams are like crazy.
I love it.
It's so crazy.
I wish that Mike didn't die, though. I wish that the ending was
know.
And they tried again, and somehow the gas didn't even
I know.
Do it.
I would have loved that.
I know.
Because I feel like he earned it.
He must be vibing wherever
he is.
Is.
I bet he is.
I bet he got reincarnated as, like, something diesel.
I bet he did.
Like, I don't know, like an oak tree.
Like an oak tree.
But I want better for him.
I do, too.
Not that I have anything against oak trees.
No. If any oak trees are listening, I'm like, we're not. We love you.
It's really funny.
never talk shit about oak trees.
I'll scream. Ever. Okay. Well, I couldn't catch myself for a second.
I love it.
Oak trees. All right. But we hope you guys keep listening.
We really do.
After that whole oak tree bit.
The oak trees specifically, I hope you keep listening.
We hope you, oak trees.
Keep
it
weird.
And oaky.
But not so weird that you do this.
Yeah, no. Not so weird that you do any of that.
Don't kill Mike
Keep
Malloy.
It Mike Malloy weird, though.
Yeah, keep it real weird.
I mean, maybe
way.
Don't for your personal
health. I was going to say. Yeah.
Bye.
If you like Morbid, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey. Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run dark. In this new crime thriller, religion and crime collide when this small Montana community is rocked by a gruesome murder. As the town is whipped into a frenzy, everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager. But local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Lauro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. She and Ruth form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone's watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy Award nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook plunges listeners into the dark underbelly of a small town where the lines between truth and deception are blurred, and even the most devout are not who they seem. Chinook is available to listen to now exclusively with your Wondery Plus subscription. You can subscribe to Wondery Plus on the Wondery app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify.